Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the 824 project here on the Nerd Party Network, where me and Dallas King make our way through the 824 filmography and TV work, and in between we bring you interviews with the talent involved. In this episode, I'm joined by Rami star, disability advocate, comedian and substitute teacher Steve Way. Steve shares with us how him and Rami creator and co-star Rami Youssef met in school and would go on to star together in the critically acclaimed series. Steve shares the challenges he's faced and overcome, his work on a future A24 and Apple TV series, and much, much more. Thanks so much to Steve for joining me, and I hope you too will enjoy this episode. So Steve, welcome to the show. It's an absolute honor to have you on today.
Oh man, thank you so much for having me.
So for many of us that are listening, our first introduction to you was Rami, but you're also an advocate, a motivational speaker, a teacher, and a comedian. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh man, well, I'm almost 30, which is really gross. Yeah, I live in New Jersey, right outside New York City. Haven't really been doing much recently. Just trying to keep busy, but I have a lot of projects coming up when we get back to a somewhat normal that I'm really looking forward to.
So you've also got a long history with Rami Youssef. Can you tell us a little bit about your history together and what kind of brought you to, you know, to the show together?
Rami and I have been friends for almost 20 years now. We met in the fifth grade, and if you see at the end of episode 4, season 1 of Rami, that's pretty much how we met. It was really like right after 9/11. We would always go to school together. We lived just a couple blocks away from each other. And then once we started high school, we took TV production together. Our high school has a full TV studio inside of it. So for more than half of our lives, we've always been working on stuff together, and we always had access to the best audio, visual, and editing equipment. So once we got out of high school, you know, we just took all that knowledge and our experiences and just really deep dove into comedy.
When did you sort of first hear about the opportunity to become part of what we would come to know as the TV show Rami?
It was definitely a couple of years ago. Robert just called me up and said, "Hey, you're going to be in my show." And I was like, "All right." And, you know, fast forward to now, and he's helping me develop my own show. But Robert really was a big advocate for me. You know, there were a lot of people who didn't think that I could be an actor. They didn't think that I had the stamina or the strength to kind of do a full day of shooting. They were afraid that I would have a lot of accommodations. But Rami really fought for me. And he really allowed me to showcase my talents and just prove everybody wrong.
Did you have to audition, or was your audition really built in all those like nearly 20 years of kind of shared experience together?
Well, after Rami wrote my part, the first thing they asked was, "Who's going to play Steve?" So, yeah, I had to audition for my own role. It was pretty easy. But, you know, it was just part of that ignorance towards performers with disabilities.
What's it like to almost audition as sort of Steve auditioning as Steve? How is that a challenge in your head to sort of differentiate the two, or do you just go in there and bring yourself?
No, I just go in there and do it. I know me better than anybody else. When I have to play my character. I know exactly what they want. So it makes my job that much easier. But it's fun. It's really fun. Because I'm able to just kind of show what my life is like and what disabled people go through on a daily basis.
Was that important to both you and Rami to have that representation? Because when I only recently watched the show for the first time, and you know, it's not just a representation of American Muslims, second generation, they're brothering, there's obviously, you know, disability representation in it as well. Was that diversity important to both of you to make sure that was captured on screen?
For me and Rami, it was just implied. You know, neither of us had to say it. But when it came to my character, Rami really made it a point to make sure that it was accurate to me and my life and what I do, just as a person. Robbie will send me a script and, you know, he'll ask, is this what you would say? Is this what you would do in this situation? So it really helps to make it as authentic as it can be.
What's one of the biggest little changes that you've seen in a script and you thought, that just doesn't match with my experience? Or what was one of these maybe little small contributions that you made that when people like myself are watching Rami at home, when we're rewatching it, we can go, Steve contributed that line or moment?
When the episode where Rami was high and we had that conversation with my mom about my inevitable death, in that scene, my mom is grinding up a painkiller for me to put in like a packet of pudding. That's exactly how I would do it. So, you know, again, this is something that Rami made sure to be as specific as possible.
What are the big differences between you as Steve and the Rami Steve? Is there any huge differences between the two, or are they very much quite in sync?
Well, I never tried to have sex with an underage girl. Never happened. I play a fictional character in a fictional universe. My lawyer says I have to say that every time it's brought up. It's pretty real, man. It's all pretty real. You know, I'm not afraid to give Rami shit. I'm not afraid to call him out. You know, we're not afraid to give each other shit. Yeah, you know, also, Rami would just do whatever for me. You know, he's always been there, and we know each other so well.
And do you think, like, I see it as like an audience member, and do you feel that sort of translates on screen, that 20 years, that it's not just you and Rami that have got that 20 years, but it's in that episode and all the episodes as well? Because as you say, that episode 4, when you see that these guys went to school together, it feels so real on screen and clearly off screen.
Yeah, it's definitely all there. Whenever him and I shoot a scene together, the last take we do is us going completely off script. And we'll go for like at least 10 minutes. Until one of us is, you know, just starts uncontrollably laughing, or someone behind the scenes start laughing. But it's just so much fun.
As we touched on earlier, and you've got many roles, and one of them is obviously as a comedian. Does that stand you in good stead on a show like Rami, where there can be that improvisation part, where you can banter off each other, improvise? Does it help you bring your A game every time?
It definitely helps, but I think our friendship helps the most. Yeah. By far, it's our friendship that we always feed off of. You know, I don't feel that with the other castmates, you know, that's a different kind of relationship and friendship. But what Robbie and I have just goes to a level that's so much deeper.
Yeah, and we certainly see it as an audience member. What's a typical day like for you on the set of Rami? You know, how do you kind of spend your typical day getting kind of prepared and then working on Rami?
I just hang out with the PAs. You know, I'll hang out with the writers. We just goof around. It's super relaxed, you know. I always have somebody with me on set to kind of help me out throughout the day. And, you know, we're just one big family. Everyone's friends. Everyone knows each other. It's so relaxed. You know, and it's all fun, which is most important.
Well, it sounds like you have a great kind of spirit behind the camera. What have been some of your favorite experiences kind of behind the scenes working on the first two seasons?
Shooting the Atlantic episode was definitely fun. Just because of how weird it was.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody knew what was coming. So there was this fun atmosphere on set of like, oh my God, I can't believe they're shooting that today. Yeah, you know, it's a small crew too, so there's really not that many people. And that really shows behind the scenes.
What have been some of the highlights of the work so far in terms of episodes or scenes? Is there an episode that you're particularly fond of, or a scene that you just, it constantly makes you laugh just thinking about it too?
I think it's just being on the show that allows me to tell these stories that not everybody knows about. Mm-hmm. And these stories that are never seen on television. You know, I just feel so honored and special to be the one to tell those stories. And they just resonate so much within the disabled community. And I feel so rewarding, you know, to have people come up to me and say, like, hey, Steve, like, you know, I saw this episode, like, oh my God, like, I felt that. You know, like, that's what me and my family do all the time. It just feels so good to be the guy to do that.
Has it been frustrating on the sidelines before, sort of, you got your experience with Rami, just not seeing that representation perhaps on screen, or incredibly rarely, or roles, for example, where someone's potentially in a wheelchair or has a health condition, and it's an individual that doesn't have that condition playing that kind of role?
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating, but I knew the tide was turning in our favor. I knew that more opportunities were coming. And, you know, thanks to Rami having me, and now me developing my own show for Apple, so many more doors are opening now.
That's amazing.
So we're really starting to see that shift in Hollywood. And, you know, it's definitely long overdue, but I'm super happy it's happening now.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that. Having had the opportunity to work with Rami sort of on the first two seasons of the show, what is, you know, I'm sure you can't reveal much about sort of season three, but is there a sort of new storyline involving your character that you'd like to see perhaps in the next season? Because obviously the show's done an excellent job of telling these unique stories from a different perspectives and opening and broadening horizons of you know, for the viewers. What do you think would be an exciting and perhaps unexpected direction to take your story going forward?
I don't know what happens until the scripts are emailed to me. So I have no idea the direction for season three. And let me say it here first. I am absolutely terrified. I am terrified for what Rami is going to make me do on screen.
I can't wait. You've got me. I can't wait to see what other antics you get up to. If there was one thing that you could say to him, Rami, mate, I want you to, it's like, I want this to happen for Steve next year, what would you maybe try and angle him towards doing?
I honestly have no requests because I trust Rami so much.
Yes.
I trust him so much as a writer with our friendship and my life and my stories that I kind of feel better knowing it's in his hands and not mine.
Yeah.
Because I know that he's going to craft a story for me that's going to fit his overall arc better than I ever could do.
When did you realize that Rami was having a kind of cultural impact? When did that moment kind of come?
Oh man, I picked up on that like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, after we graduated high school, and he was starting to do sketch comedy and stand up comedy and improv in New York City, and I would see him perform and just be absolutely blown away. You know, I mean, he was on Nickelodeon when he was like 22 or 23, you know, on a major night show. And, you know, I knew right away that he was special and he was really going to change the game for all of us.
And when the show kind of began, obviously it came out, it all dropped at once on Hulu. Was there a moment when you realized, wow, people are tuning in here and resonating with it? When did that moment kind of come?
I think it was when I was in an airport right after and people recognized me. And I was in New York City right before the show came out. And I saw this giant billboard with me and Rami on it. And, oh man, it was just so surreal.
Yeah.
But that really hit me hard. It just showed me that, like, this was happening. And this was gonna be big.
What's it like when you get a show like Rami, where there you are on billboards, people are streaming your show all around the world? What's that like for you when you get that sudden kind of fame? And does it afford you a sort of an even bigger platform?
Yeah, it definitely gives me a bigger platform. It's heavy. It's really heavy. You know, because I mean, I never thought I would live this long, let alone to be on this critically acclaimed, award-winning show and to have this platform that I had because of it.
What do you hope people take away from your performance and equally the character of Steve in the show?
I think I just want people to know that I'm just a regular guy like everybody else. You know, I have the same problems you do. I'm just very disabled. So I do things a lot differently. But that doesn't mean that our struggles are that much different. You know, my struggle with getting a job, dating, healthcare, you know, all that stuff that your average American goes through every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm just disabled. So I have to do things a lot differently.
You touched on it. You have got an Apple TV show in the works. Obviously, I'm sure there won't be much you can say at this point, but what can you tell us a little about it at this moment, Steve?
It's just how me and my family navigate life. You know, mostly the American healthcare system. It's me interacting with the disabled community. people with a bunch of different kinds of disabilities and how their lives are impacted by society. It's really exciting because there's really nothing else like it on TV. And I think it's really special, and I think people are really going to get a new perspective on how they view people with disabilities.
When do you think that will sort of come along, or is it sort of in a limbo period due to sort of COVID and lockdowns at the moment?
I mean, I'm hoping for like a year and a half, 2 years. Okay. Definitely.
I read an article that you'd written a couple of years ago, and I'm going to quote you to you here. As of 2018, American streaming services only had 11 disabled characters that were played by disabled actors. That's 11 roles to represent 61 million Americans, which is 1 in 4. What do you think the industry can do to make significant improvements for representation on screen and equally behind the camera?
Give us the opportunity. Just get rid of every ignorant stereotype that you have. Just every bias that you have. And just give us the chance. Because as I have already done, we will prove to you that we are good enough. And there's no excuses anymore. You know, we're writers, directors, producers, actors, and we are more than capable of doing our job as good as anybody else. So just give us the opportunity.
You touched on it earlier when you sort of spoke about sort of maybe the studios were worried that you wouldn't be able to do full days, etc. What sort of preconceptions and perhaps lazy stereotyping from sort of the studios, etc., have you had to overcome to get where you are today?
Well, they think that, you know, I won't be able to film before DEFA. They think I won't be able to film like a full day. They think that I'll have to take a bunch of breaks. And that shooting will be longer because of that. I mean, there's so many big time actors who don't come out of their trailers for like 90 minutes. Or they say, I'm only doing 2 takes. And that's it. Or, you know, I'm going to go away, so let's film an extra week. There's no excuse.
It's obviously been a challenging time for the arts during sort of COVID. But in addition to that, we've seen people with pre-existing conditions and those that are on the front line in education, much like yourself as a substitute teacher, affected by sort of COVID. What's been your lockdown experience, Steve?
I really haven't done much. I don't really leave my house too much. I really have to limit who I have over. I can't just have anybody over. No restaurants, no movie theaters, nothing like that for a while, at least. I've been out of work since March. I'm a high school substitute teacher. I probably won't be doing that for a while. Obviously, no acting, so it sucks, but I gotta be safe.
Yeah. Do you feel that there's hope potentially coming around the corner, or do you feel things are maybe still a while away yet?
Yeah, there's definitely hope. I'm hoping, you know, with the vaccine and everything, but it's still gonna be a while. It's gonna be a very long winter ahead of us.
Yeah. How have you been spending your sort of period in lockdown? Have you been binging TV shows like I did with Rami, or movies? What have you been doing to keep yourself kind of entertained through this kind of long year?
Been watching a lot of TV and movies. Been listening to a lot of podcasts. I started a weekly Instagram live show. I've been writing a lot, though. I know it's given me a good opportunity to just keep writing, so I'm ready. Whenever it's safe to start shooting again, I have a lot of stuff that I can just pull the trigger on.
That's exciting. Is that in addition to sort of your Apple TV show?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm excited. You're a good salesman there. We pose this question to sort of everyone that we get onto the podcast. What's your opinion on A24, and what are some of your favorite films or shows that they've done?
I love them. They've been really awesome to work with. They definitely share my vision and my goals for my show. I loved The Disaster Artist. Hereditary kept me up at night. I really want to watch First Cow.
First Cow is brilliant.
Yeah, it looks really good. I still have to watch Euphoria. My girlfriend yells at me at least once a week to watch it. They know what they're doing, and I love working with them, and I hope that I can work with them, past my show.
That's amazing. So obviously, because they do have this deal with sort of Apple TV, was it then that sort of reached out to you to sort of, pitch this TV show, or was it an opportunity for you to say, I've got this idea, would you be interested? How did that work?
I think it was really mutual. They know I had this idea working with Rami. They kind of were like, hey, we love your idea. But Rami was like, hey, you should work with Steve. And then we all just got together and we got this pitch together. And here we are.
That's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to that. You mentioned sort of Instagram, for example. What's the kind of best places at the moment to sort of get kind of information on what's maybe coming up projects? As you were saying, you do these live streams. Where's the best place to keep up to date with your work? Any of your, potential tours down the line, etc. Where's the best social media forms for you?
Yeah, definitely my Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. At the Steve Way, or my website, thestevewei.com. Pretty much share everything on there.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to be joined today by you, Steve, and so on. I can't wait to see what's to come from you in your terms of your stand-up, your future show, and Rami season 3. I think hopefully once things get settled again, we're going to be in for a treat of some really exciting shows and work from you. I can't wait.
Yeah, man, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.